It's quite a hill we'll have to climb if we're going to make Northern Ireland appealing in relation to how filthy it is in some corners and quarters. Not everywhere. Not everywhere, absolutely. Definitely not everywhere. There are some great examples of pristine presentation. But unfortunately, many parts of our cities don't meet that description. There's Kate saying we need dedicated dog fouling teams, especially in West Belfast, says Kate. Good morning to you. Well, they do have teams who look out and who impose the fines, but they're few and far between, Kate. I agree with you. Chris, listening to the programme, says, I hate the image of Belfast. Whenever you look back at old pictures of the city, it was beautiful, but all the buildings now have become soulless. Well, you know something, Chris, and you give me an example of Frankfurt and how they've restored their historic centre to look like it was before the Second World War. As for the soulless element, I tend to think the soul has been ripped out of the ground floor, you know, where we have the shops. They're all really boring. The fronts are all exceptionally boring. They're all trying to be modern and glass, you know, but look up in Belfast. If we look up to the next level, or certainly to the third level up, so many of the great shapes and I suppose the decor of old Belfast has been retained. But then again, there are many that meet what you're saying, that have just been ripped out and put into square boxes of glass and steel. Maybe it's called progress. I don't know. I wouldn't object so much to that element of it if the darn place was kept clean. And I would prefer, and I need to emphasize this, I'd prefer the old image, the old buildings, the style and the structure of yesteryear was sensational. Whereas a lot of modern architecture, unfortunately, probably because it's cheap, it's like the building I'm sitting in at this present minute in time is a lovely building, but it's a big square glass. It's a big square glass box, and the one beside me is a big tall glass box. So that's the modern era. Having said that, they're all pristine and clean, and along by City Quays, they're doing a big lawn development, which looks like as if it's going to be a big garden. It's going to be quite amazing. But that whole walkway from the Big Fish on down towards the AC Marriott and on as you move towards the Belfast Telegraph building, there are significant elements of positivity that I could make reference to on a walk there. And then there are some minuses as well, but that's primarily just down to litter louts and people who will use a spray tin, and thankfully not along this walkway, but there are many who will use a spray tin just to destroy a piece of architecture, just to sign their name on it. It is so irritating seeing people do that and making the place look as filthy as it does just for the selfish activity of emptying a tin of spray paint over someone else's property. There are a host of elements as to why Belfast could improve, and there are also many things that we should say that we should be proud of. Chris McCracken, I bet, will be proud enough of the city because it's his job to promote it, especially in the Linen Quarter. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You're going to be full of positivity, Chris, or do you think we're on a slippery slope here?
Well, let me tell you a story. I was actually walking through the Titanic Quarter a few months ago, and there were some tourists there visiting the city, and they were wandering through, and they just stopped, looked around, and said to each other, wow, Belfast is so beautiful. Yet when it comes to the residents that actually live here, we have a very negative view of our city. And I'm uncertain why there's that dichotomy between tourists who appreciate what we have and people who live here that don't. Now, I do agree with a lot of your callers today. The regulation on our streets is not good enough. And it's not just about resources. It's actually about the laws that we have. We don't have sufficient laws, for example, to tackle street drinking. So we've got signs that say £500 if you drink in the street, and there's all these street drinkers underneath it. You know, if we're going to have signs saying you can't do something, we need to have the laws to enforce that properly. So there is a bit of work there, not just for the council, but for all of the statutory agencies to come together and think, right, how do we regulate the city more robustly? That's true.
So however, introduce a law where people with spray cans can't tag, that's the word they use, can't tag every bit of architecture and public amenity structure that they walk past, putting some sort of silly slogan or logo on practically every bin, on the utility boxes, on people's walls, on the sides of trees. It just is so annoying to see that epidemic of vandalism that's happening in Belfast at present.
I agree, but that's criminal damage, so we don't need any further laws. Those people can be arrested and prosecuted for that. And I do hope that there's some magistrates listening to your show today, because sometimes when these people are taken before the courts, they're given a very sentence that isn't really a deterrent. So we do need to have a firm message that that's unacceptable. And I think there also needs to be an educational approach. Some of these people think what they're doing is street art. It's not. It's just criminal damage. Street art is where we've got the murals and some of these beautiful, these artists coming in from around the world to do beautiful creations. That's street art. Tagging is just criminal damage. But some of your callers were talking about the lack of character in Belfast, and I would like to point to some areas where we are getting it right. So if you look at, for example, Bedford Street, the Europe building has just been restored. That's a beautiful linen warehouse, just been restored with a new tower block behind it, £85 million development. Besides City Hall, you've got the Pearl Assurance building, and that red sandstone is just coming out. It's been beautifully restored. You've got Bryson House. You've got what was going to be the George Best Hotel, the Scottish Mutual, is being restored. You've got the bank buildings where Primark is. So there's a lot of great historic buildings that are actually being restored and brought back into modern use.
Yeah, I think later in the programme we're going to be talking about the Assembly buildings, which are at the top of the street. I think it's Waring Street. They're at the top of the street that the Merchant Hotel is in. It will be the last building on the right-hand side if you were walking up from the Merchant Hotel. The Assembly rooms, people are complaining that they're crumbling and that the future of them doesn't look very bright. It would be a shame to see buildings like that fall into such disrepair that they're added to the...
for the Titanic Quarter. So Belfast Stories will have a similar halo effect around that part of the city that does need that regeneration. And that links very much then with the library, which was also due a £30 million upgrade, with the old Belfast Telegraph building, which is going to be converted into offices. And then next door to that is the new Ulster University, which is a £364 million development. So in that one row, you've got £600 million of investment. So people who say Belfast is going backwards aren't fully aware, perhaps, of all of these things that are actually happening.
Yeah, because that's positivity, and we want to emphasise the positives as well as obviously acknowledge the negatives. And there's been so much talk, and the tobacco debacle is the only way to describe it. That eyesore that is part of Royal Avenue and that general area towards North Street, while that continues like that, we're never going to be able to rescue the city fully.
Well, the city is much more than that one part. I mean, there are a lot of things that are happening elsewhere. In the Linen Quarter, we've got, for example, the Grand Central Station. I've already mentioned Ulster University, which has brought a lot of footfall, a lot of student accommodation. We've got Kainos coming in on Dublin Road. Dublin Road's another street that needs regeneration. So that's a £40 million investment there. Lots more offices and residential coming in too. So there's a huge amount happening in the city. But I would like to go back to that perception of the city, and I think this is important. There's a really interesting story in New York in the 1970s. It was similarly a city that had problems with dereliction and had just had an economic decline. And the city council in New York launched that campaign, I Love New York, which is now ubiquitous. Everybody's heard of I Love New York, and it's on T-shirts and mugs all over the world. But it was saying, look, the city's not perfect, but let's get behind the city. Let's try and be positive about it. Let's look at what good things are happening. And that campaign was really instrumental in helping revive New York to the city it is today. I think we need a similar sort of I Love Belfast campaign. And it's not to say we're glossing over things that need to be fixed, but it's saying, let's look at the positives and let's support our city.
So we need something beyond Belfast is buzzing. I remember that one from, that was coming out of the Troubles. And, you know, it was a good right. catchphrase and all of that. But to really get the message across, and I don't want to in any way dilute the challenges that people face in their individual lives, but there was a time when, and it was usually the woman of the house, because that's the era that it happened in. But it will say that we today talk about the homeowner. There was a time when the homeowner used to wash the front doorstep, used to brush the bit of concrete that's out on the front path. There isn't that sort of pride taken anymore in so many areas. I'm very lucky to have a neighbour who has such civic pride that he's out collecting litter and ensuring that the place is pristine. It's a pleasure having the bloke live three or four doors from you. I like to give him a bit of a hand sometimes, but it's a very rare thing to see people do a bit of cleaning on their own front step that goes beyond their own property. And as sure as I say that, someone's going to say, but we're not insured to do that. If somebody was to slip and fall after I brushed the street, they'd sue me. That's a cop-out, isn't it?
Well, I remember that very same thing. My grandparents lived in Sydenham, and my grandparents and all of the neighbours would go out and brush the pavement and brush the area around the house and keep it clean. And that street was immaculate. And we have lost some of that civic pride. Now, you do have modern sort of equivalents to that starting to come forward, such as the Live Here, Love Here campaign, where we do try and get people to come together and adopt a spot and look after that area of the city or the area around their homes. And I think that should be encouraged, and more people should get behind that sort of campaign of civic pride and of doing your bit for your city.
Yeah, and, you know, Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful, they have some great initiatives in the schools and whatever, and they're forever beating the drum, trying to get the message across. And thankfully, agencies like that do exist. Yeah, there are many positives, but we can't turn our backs on or ignore the negatives, Chris. I think you'd agree with that.
Yes, I mean, as I said, there's things that we need to do around street regulation, and we do need to step up about that and ensure that there's sufficient resources. A lot of litter, for example, is caused by poor bin management. So, you know, we need to store the bins. We need to make sure they're not overflowing. And those businesses that aren't complying with those rules need to get an education letter around that and a fine if they continue to breach the rules. There's also things we need to do around transport in the city. The getting in and out of the city is going to improve with the new Grand Central Station, but we do need that north-south glider. We do need that cycling infrastructure to come in. So that's another improvement that's required. And also, we need what was called the Streets Ahead programme. Now, this is an investment in the public realm. So we've got all these new buildings, hundreds of millions of pounds of investment, but sometimes the pavement, the lighting, the benches, the streetscape, the planting, it's just not good enough. So we do need to bring that programme back. I think we need to spend around £100 million redoing the public realm from Ulster University down to Shaftesbury Square, Botanic Avenue, and that, I think, will improve the appearance of the city.
Well, let's hope the money is there for it. You mentioned the bins. Just finally, who's responsible for all of the bins? I know the council lift the domestic bins and so on and so forth, but are there other commercial bins that council aren't responsible for?
There are a range of companies that will lift bins, but the city council is responsible for the regulation. If businesses are not storing the bins, or if there's overflowing bins, then it's the city council need to enforce that. And they have stepped up in recent months to do that. For example, in my area, Blackstaff Square, you have probably had about 20 bins on the square, making it a very unpleasant place. That's now being addressed. Those bins are off the square. You don't have the same problems with litter. So we just need to make sure that sort of action's taking place right across the city.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much indeed. Chris McCracken is with the Linen Quarter bid. It's 22 minutes to 10. Andrew has a point, I think, about the bins as well. How do you see it, Andrew?
Well, I think the council, you know, you get your black bin emptied once a fortnight. I think, you know, go back to the old way, was handed once a week, or else supply you. You know, it's a streamlined bin now they give you, so supply you with an extra black bin, or else go back to emptying it once a week.
Is your bin a relatively small one?
It's a small, slimline bin, yeah, but, you know, four or five black bags of it, and that's it through.
And that's to encourage you to recycle. Are you putting enough of the recycled material into the appropriate bin for the recycling?
Yes. But, you know, yes, we are. Everybody is. But you take come Thursday or Vincent Andy on a Thursday, everybody's bin sitting through with a lid up. You know, if you put a black bag inside your bin, they don't do that. They don't throw it in the lorry because they said they can't, they're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, okay. People have mentioned this before about the relatively smaller bin that has replaced the original black bin. When I say the black bin, we mean the dirty bin. So is that a negative, actually? Is that proving to be a negative? And should they revert to a larger bin or indeed to emptying the dirty bin every week as opposed to every fortnight? Would that help to keep this city cleaner?